Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Isaiah 65:16, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. I got news for you. God don't want you just blessed in heaven. God wants you blessed on the earth. That's in the here and now. And how are you going to be blessed on the earth? You got to bless yourself. Isn't that what it says? He who what? Blesses himself where? In the earth. It'd be so sad to walk around cursed when he went to such great lengths to redeem you from the curse. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Every kind of curse, that's every kind of curse, every kind of evil thing that you can think of and can't even think of. It's all written in that book of the law. And Jesus went to the cross having become a curse for us. So that the blessing that God placed on Abraham, so that the blessing could be upon you and me. Then we said that love is blessing conduit. Love is blessing conduit. Where love goes, the blessing flows. So we're speaking the blessing by faith, and we're yielding ourselves to the love of God, because it takes love for that blessing to be able to flow fully in its fullness. The blessing of God thrives in an atmosphere of love. But selfishness short circuits the blessing. But love completes it. Love completes the cycle. Love completes it or fulfills it, brings it to fulfillment. Brings it to fulfillment, because that's what love does. Love fulfills. The Bible talks about how love fulfills the law. Galatians 5:14. It says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, there's a lot to the law, but all of it's fulfilled in what? In one word. And what's that word? Love. That's the word that fulfills all the law. Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Again, love is the fulfillment. And then over in Ephesians chapter 3, I want us to pick up on that again. Let's turn to it. Ephesians, the third chapter. Very exciting scripture, very exciting prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying by the Spirit for the church at Ephesus. And of course, if the Spirit of God was leading him to pray this prayer for the church at Ephesus, then how many people know it's a good prayer to pray for us today? Right? Because the same Holy Spirit is here today in the church. So it's the same thing. What God wanted for them, God wants for us. What he wanted for the early church, he wants for the church today. So notice this in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. That's where we want to be. We want to be rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That tells us something right there, what love will do for you. It'll enable you to be able to comprehend things. In other words, light will remove darkness from your mind. James chapter 3 says that where there's self-seeking, there is confusion, and every evil thing will be there. I'm so confused. Have you ever been confused? I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. I'm just so confused. You know what will take care of that? Love. You know what many times is at the root of all that confusion? Self-seeking. Selfishness. So selfishness, which is the opposite of love, being selfish, self-serving, it clouds the mind. It clutters your soul. It hinders you from being able to see clearly. And so we get into a battle. We get into strife. Get into an unlovely situation. Man, that's the time for us to yield and stay over in the love of God, because that's when we're going to have the greatest clarity to be able to comprehend what we're to do now. God will enable you to know exactly what to do through whatever trial or test that you're going through if you'll stay in love. But if you get pushed over into selfishness, man, next thing you know, you can't figure out. You start clawing and kicking and screaming and yelling. And now you're panicking to get yourself out of whatever that situation is that you might be in. Love will keep you from having a panic attack, because you'll have peace and you won't be confused. You'll have a clear mind about what to do next. It'll enable you to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, that you might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. See, as we just saw in other scriptures, love is the fulfillment of the law. Fulfillment, or in other words, it brings the law into fullness. It brings everything into fullness. That's what love does. It brings us into the fullness of God. Oh, hallelujah. Of course, the law has come from God. The word of God has come from God. The promise of God have come from him. So when we're over operating in the love of God, the law causes all the word, the promises of God to come to fullness in our life. And that reminds me of Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 29, Paul talking to the church, he said, "But I know that when I come to you," I love that, don't you? I know. I think. I'm not sure. Don't we hear a lot of that? Right? I think. I'm not sure. We'll see. Wait and see. We're not sure. Right? I know. There's some things I know. Man, God will cause you to know what you need to know when you need to know it. And you'll know some things about yourself. You'll know some things about others. When it comes to God, you know, you comprehend, you know, you're not confused. You see it, it's clear. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Let me say the fullness of the blessing. Well, what's gonna cause him to come in the fullness of the blessing? I mean, that's walking in the blessing to the full. What's going to do that? Love. Love brings things to fulfillment or fullness, completion in our life. Oh, hallelujah. Full of the blessing. Full of the blessing. Filled with the fullness of God and the fullness of the blessing. Ephesians says the fullness of God, and Romans says the fullness of the blessing. Hallelujah. I just like it. The Psalm 36, verse 7. He says, "How precious is your loving kindness." Loving kindness. Talking about love again. "How precious is your love, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures." Man, that sounds like the place to be. Man, are you kidding me? That's the place to live. Oh, hallelujah. Right by that river of pleasures, where pleasures just flow. I mean, life is just pleasurable. That's the place God's got for you and me. How do we get there? His love in kindness. His love in kindness. Let's look at it again. He says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, or as the result of that, the children of men put their trust. Ever say trust? Put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Well, when you're trusting God, you are in faith. So notice, he says, the loving kindness of God is what causes men to trust God, or what causes men to be in faith concerning God, concerning his word, concerning him, the reality of his presence. What causes us to get in faith? Love. Love. Love causes faith. Faith is trusting in God. So faith is the result of love. Faith is the result of love. And then faith working by love brings about the fullness of God's house in our life. Did you get that? So love causes faith, and that faith working through love brings about the fullness of God's house into our house, into our life. The result is an abundantly satisfied and pleasurable life. How many people want to live an abundantly satisfied and pleasurable life? That's what God's got for you. That's why he said to his disciples, pray that your days might be like the days of heaven on the earth. That's what he said in the book of Deuteronomy. And then he told his disciples in another place in Luke's gospel, he said, pray that the Father's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why people know it's pleasurable in heaven. Satisfying. People are living a very pleasurable, satisfying life. That's the kind of life God's got for you to live today. Today. How can we get over into it? Love. Get a hold of the love. Get a hold of the love, and that's going to cause faith to come. See, faith and love work together. Faith and love work together. You got to have them both. We're big on faith, but we're also big on love. Because God's big on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But without love, it's impossible to experience God's pleasures, right? And be pleased by God. See, we got to have them both. Understanding God's love causes faith to come. So we need to understand both. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 6 declares that faith works by love. Faith works by love. Or another translation says, faith working through love. Faith working through love, or faith working by love. The bottom line is, we need both faith and love. If you just have one and not the other, you only got half the equation. And I think that's where a lot of people have missed it. They've laid hold of the promises of God, and they believe the promises of God. So they have faith concerning the promises, but they're lacking in their understanding of the love of God. They're lacking in their yielding to the love of God. And so the equation isn't complete. There's no fulfillment of the promises. There's no fullness of the blessing. There's no fullness of God's house. There's no fullness of God in our lives. Because we only got the promise, we got the believing, we got the faith part, but the love part. A lot of folks don't have that as well. There's a lot more selfishness many times that is governing Christians' lives concerning their seeking God, their praying, their declaring the promises of God. Many times the motive is selfish. That's why he says in James, he said, you ask, but do not receive. Remember that? Because you just want to spend it on your own pleasure. He said, you have not because you ask not. You ask, but do not receive because you're just thinking about yourself. It's just all about you, all about spending it on yourself. So, see, it's not going to work. We're asking. We got faith to ask, but it's all about me. It's all about me, spending it on yourself. So we are to bless ourselves, and faith will bless itself, but love will keep us from living for ourselves. So faith will enable us to bless ourselves, but love will keep us from living for ourselves. That's that second part is what usually falls off. See? And you gotta watch yourself on this. And this is why it falls off. It's because many times it's talking about bless yourself and say, yes, I like this. I like this message. Bless me, bless me, bless me. That's right. I can bless myself. Stir me up, Pastor. Tell me so. Tell me it's true. Then we start talking about love. Not living for yourself. Suddenly the eyes get heavy. Bottom jaw gets heavy. We're yawning. What's happening? What's happening? See, there's not a seriousness. There's not an attentiveness. There's not a hunger to understand this second part. And what's that causing? That's causing a short-circuiting of our faith. A short-circuiting of the blessing of God from coming into our life. It's cutting off the power. So we got to wake up and say, man, I got to get excited about not living for me. Just as excited I am about blessing me, I'm excited about not living for me. You know, it's kind of like a scale, right? You put two weights on there, you got to get the scale even. Can't just be all, bless me. Bless me. Load it down with bless me. Bless me. Yeah, I know I should be loving. I know love on the other end of the scale is like, I know I should. I know I should. But you don't know how they treated me. Okay. See, it's not working. Why? We're not, the circuit isn't complete. It's not going to flow until, see, it's got to be even. We got to be just as excited about the one as we are the other. Why? Because they're both God. He's the spirit of faith and he is love. Come on. He's the spirit of faith and he is love. And we need to have both sides of God for this thing to work. Which means we got to be just as excited about both. Just as excited about both. I'm excited about learning about love. I'm excited about blessing me. I'm excited about not living for me. I like that. I don't want to live for me. I don't want to be selfish. Because I know what selfishness brings, confusion, and every evil thing will be there. It opens the door to the devil. Cuts me off from understanding the depth, height, width, length of God. I don't want to be in selfishness. I hate selfishness. I don't want to do anything out of selfishness. I don't want to do anything out of pride, arrogance, and just for me, all about me. I want to be for the glory and praise of God and to help other people. That's what I want it to be. That's what I want my life to be all about. Because that's a free life. That's an enjoyable life. That's a life that will lead to satisfaction and pleasures forevermore. Where you're just sitting by the river. Just scooping up pleasure. And nobody can ruffle your feathers. Nobody can take it from you. Hallelujah. So we all want, you know, through our faith to change certain conditions, outward conditions in our life. But it all happens as we grow in love. As love changes our inner character, faith will change our outer condition. I said, as love changes our inner character, faith changes our outer condition. Faith moves mountains, but love manages motives. It manages the motives behind the mountain moving. Why do you want to move that mountain? Me, me, me. Selfishness. mountain don't move. So just like we want faith working on the mountain, we want love working on our motives. Faith knows God's acts of power. Faith knows, faith believes in God's power. But love knows God's heart. It knows God's ways. Psalm 103 in verse 7. The Bible says, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. So the children of Israel out there in the wilderness coming out of Egypt, man, God made known His acts to them, His acts of power. And that was awesome. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, tremendous demonstration of the power of God. But Moses, he knew more than that. Moses didn't just know His acts of power. Moses knew God's ways. He knew God's ways. And you see, that's love. Knowing the heart of God. Knowing the why behind what God does. Faith believes in what God does. But love understands why He does it. So we don't want to just stop at believing in what God does. We want to get in there where we understand, why does He do that? Get a hold of His heart so that we can do what He does, do what like Moses did, for the right reasons. A lot of times folks want to see God's power in their life, through their life, but it's not because of love, not because of why God would want it. They don't understand why God did what He did. We need to understand why He does what He does. I want to be like the disciple John. Out of the 12 disciples, John was the one that seemed to be the closest to them. Peter was right there. But, you know, at the Last Supper, there's John leaning. It says John was leaning on Jesus, leaning on His chest at the Last Supper. And so Jesus said some things to everybody. And then John leaned over. Peter motioned to John and said, ask Him who He's talking about. So John leans over. He's right there with Jesus. He says, Lord, who's going to betray You? And Jesus said to John, not everybody, He said, He who dips his bread in the oil with Me. And so, of course, Judas dipped his bread in the oil with Jesus, and John knew what that meant. And maybe he went back and told Peter. I don't know. Peter wanted to know. But Peter wasn't the one right there to ask. John was right there. Man, I want to be right in there. I want to be right in there with Jesus. I want to have that kind of close fellowship with Him, don't you? And He's telling you things that a lot of people don't even know about. But you know. You have understanding. You comprehend. Why? Because you got the heart of God. You're seeking not just His hand. You're seeking His heart. You're not just learning of His power and learning how to get from Him. You're learning how to get Him. Know Him. Walk with Him. That's what we're pursuing. We're in hot pursuit of God Almighty Himself. So people can do seemingly good deeds, but have self-seeking motives. Self-seeking motives. There's a lot of people, you know, they'll go to places and look like, oh, look, they went to this event or whatever, and it seems like, you know, a good. But then what were the motives? What was the motives behind it? Why are they going here? Why are people doing this? Why are they doing that? What are the motives? Love manages our motives. So your manager needs to be working. Some people fired their manager. Some people said, I don't need a manager. And they never had a manager in there. There's nobody sitting at the desk but them. You need to have a manager managing your motives. And who's that? Love. Love. Love's the manager of your motives. Make sure love's working. Pay them good, too. Keep your manager happy. Keep love working. Keep love working. That's how your faith's going to work. If love's not managing, then faith is not moving. It's not moving obstacles. It's not moving mountains. Faith is looking at the mountains. It wants to do it, but it needs love. It needs to be doing things for the right reason. We need to know God's reasons behind what he does. We need to know God's heart so that we don't just do what God does, but we do what God does because of why God does what he does. We need to do it for the same reason. We need to share the same motives with God. Over in John chapter 7, an example of people who think with self-seeking thoughts is Jesus' own brothers, who he was, you know, brought up with. After, of course, he was born of Mary. Mary and Joseph had other children. They didn't believe in Jesus. Isn't that wild? Jesus' own closest family? I mean, here they're around the sinless Son of God who's never sinned. I mean, he's amazing. And yet, they didn't believe in him. And it says in John chapter 7, verse 4, let's just turn to it. John 7. There was a feast of the Jews. And of course, Jesus always went up to these feasts. And it says in verse, let's just look at verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, if they're questioning, they're doubting, they're not really believing that he does the things that they're hearing about, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. So notice that. They're coming from total selfishness. And so they're looking at Jesus and they're saying, well, if you really do these things, man, you would flaunt it. You would prove it. You would go out there and you would just show everybody who you are. That's how self-seeking thinks. And that's what a lot of people would do with what God gives them. They would go out and flaunt it. They would go out to try to prove something about themselves, how right they were. I told you I was right. Look at my life. See, God has blessed me. And now we could smirk at our enemies because God has blessed me. See, God is with me. Look what God has done for me. And it's all self-seeking. It's all to prove something to others. I've seen people in the case of healing. They've had some serious doctor reports. And I'm thinking, man, they come to me and said, you know, I've been witnessing to people at work and I've been telling them, you know, about God and his word and about healing, and now these symptoms come and everything. And he says, man, I need to get healed to show them, you know, that this is real. I said, this isn't about proving God to these people. I said, you're going to get healed because God's will for you to be healed. Not to try to prove anything to anybody. I got to get healed. I got to be prosperous. I got to be blessed. I got to have this or that happen because I got to prove to the naysayers that I was right and God does love me, see? And I am blessed and the decisions I made are right. Motives are all wrong. All wrong behind the blessing. And so Jesus' brothers are thinking, well, they're thinking like a selfish person would think. So they're thinking that's how Jesus would think. That if you really did these things, why would you be so quiet about it? We grew up with you. You never talked about these things. You never proved anything to us that you did these things. You never flaunted these things. So obviously you don't really do these things. Because if you did these things, you would flaunt it. A lot of people teach that today. They say Jesus healed people to prove that he was the Son of God. It's not true. Many times, Jesus, before he healed somebody, he took him away from the crowd, and he took him off into private, healed him, and then told him, now don't go tell anybody. Jesus just couldn't help healing people in front of people many times because he was surrounded by people. But he didn't heal to prove himself to people. That's not why he healed. You know why he healed? Because he cared about the people. That's why he healed. Because he cared about the people, not to prove himself to the doubters. We're not going to try to prove ourselves to anybody. God, if you'll just bless me, if you'll just do this for me, God, man, everyone will work, will believe. Believe what? That you're real, that you're real. And meanwhile, Moses, he splits the Red Sea. Brings the people through a Red Sea. They get into a desert. He strikes a rock. Water comes out of the rocks. One sign and wonder after the other. And they still wanted to kill Moses. What makes you think that you're going to do a miracle? You're going to work a work of God. And everybody's going to believe you. They crucified Jesus after all the great wonders and signs he did. Oh, I know. They'll believe. Forget that. Forget that. Signs and wonders don't do it. It's a heart thing. It's not a something spectacular in the eyes that gets people saved. It's a heart thing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit on people's hearts. Let's walk in the convicting love of God. Let's walk in the love of God. Let's walk in the faith of God. Let's walk holy. Let's be convicting and let God get in there and cut to that and do something on the inside of them. You don't have to try to impress them on the outside. Right? But you see, if that's your thinking, that's going to short circuit your receiving. So you can't have that kind of, that foolish thinking. That's not how we are to think. There's only a form of godliness when faith is not connected to love. The Bible talks about those that just have a form of godliness but deny the power. They have no real power flowing in their life. And a lot of times we'll say, yeah, that's this group of people over here. That's these people in this church over here. You know, they just have a form of God. So wait a second now. How are you doing in your love walk? How excited are you about love? Let's just say it that way. How excited, and you might be stumbling around at it, but how excited are you about learning it and walking it and understanding it? Because that has a lot to do whether you and I are going to walk in the power of what we believe or just have a form of godliness. So we don't want to just have a form of godliness. And again, a form of godliness is when faith, there's faith, but it's not connected to love. And thus, there's no power to cure. We want to see the power of God cure people. We want to see the power of God set people free, don't we? We want the power of God to set people free. How's it going to happen? We're going to have faith, and we're going to have love. How many people know people go to a pharmacy? You know, if they're sick, the doctor gives them a prescription. They go to the pharmacy to get the prescription filled or fulfilled. They go to get the prescription filled, and they spend all kinds of money, and they'll do it, and they'll do exactly what the instructions say, and they'll take that medication because they believe. They believe this medication is going to help my condition. This medication is going to give me some pleasure and peace in life. It's going to remove the pain. That's what they believe. That's why they'll go to the pharmacy and get the drugs. But you and I, when we get in the Word, we come to church, we need to be approaching it like it's the pharmacy of faith. The pharmacy of faith. That'd be a great title for a church, The pharmacy of faith. Come to the pharmacy of faith. We have a drive-through window. We should have a drive-through window. Sunday morning express. Drive-through window. Where God's the doctor. The Bible is the prescription. How many people know God has written you a prescription for all your ills, all your issues, all your problems? He's got a prescription for you. The doctor I'm talking about. I'm talking about God. He's giving you the Bible. It's the prescription. And love fulfills the prescription. Love fulfills the prescription. Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous to take the prescription and just be happy. The doctor gives you the prescription, and you think, I got the prescription. And you go around, and you teach others the prescription. Let me tell you the doctor's prescription for all my problems. And you share it, and you have prescription studies. And you sit down, and you share the prescription with people. And everybody's sharing the prescription that the doctor has given. We've got his written prescription, but nobody's getting the prescription filled. What fulfills the prescription? What fulfills the order? Love. Love fulfills the prescription, and faith is the pharmacist that delivers it to you, brings it to you. Faith is the pharmacist that brings. God's the doctor. The Bible is the prescription. Love fulfills the prescription. And the pharmacist of faith, the faith pharmacist, brings it to you. Faith gets it to you. Faith gets the promises to you. What is fulfilling the prescription? First of all, fulfilling a prescription is the process of combining the correct chemical ingredients together. That's how it gets fulfilled. Well, love is the process of combining the promises of God with the purposes of God to bring about the manifestation of the will of God by faith. Now, some of you are just going to have to get the tape to hear it again to really understand what I just said. But God's promises mixed with man's purposes, not God's purposes, will result in poisonous doctrine that will kill rather than fulfill God's will. So we can't just have the promises and the wrong purpose. So many people have the promises, but then they got the wrong purpose. Love makes sure your purpose is correct. Love makes sure your purposes are right. Love makes sure your purposes are in line with the purposes of God. Thank God that we are Christian chemists. Somebody say, I'm a chemist for Christ. We're a chemist for Christ. Somebody say, I'm a glad scientist. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're a bunch of glad scientists. Praise God. Because love is scientific. Get a hold of this. We got to get into this. Love is scientific. It is researchable, reliable, and a mechanical law. It's an absolute. How many of you know God is an absolute? He's a law. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the law of the Spirit of life. He is a law. God is an absolute. So love is an absolute. Love is a law. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 8, refers to it as the royal law. The royal law. James 2, 8, if you really fulfill, and there it is again, that word fulfill, fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. What's the royal law? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Love is the royal law. It's a law. It's mechanical. Love is not a mood. It's not a mood. It's not a feeling. I don't feel any love. That's okay. Do you feel gravity? Are you aware that you feel gravity? I mean, I don't know, if you make it a sharp turn, you feel some G-forces, you know. I understand that. But do we really feel gravity? We feel the effects of gravity. But we don't really feel gravity. And yet it's here, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's working all the time. It's a law. It's a natural law. Love is a spiritual law. And it's working all the time. It's there for us to cooperate with it, to work with it, to work with this law. And so it's not about a feeling. It's not about being in a mood. I'm not in the mood to love. I don't feel lovely. That's okay. God's love isn't about a feeling. It's a law. It's something you just plug into, like the law of electricity. You just plug into it, and it'll work every time you work it. I said it'll work every time you work it. 1 John chapter 4. As we said, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Notice that. He who does not love does not what? Does not know God. So then love is knowing God. See, it's not a feeling. It's a knowing. It's a knowing God. Love isn't something that we just do. Love is someone we yield to. It's a yielding to the Spirit of God by knowing him. By knowing him. We yield to love. We yield to God by knowing God. How do you get to know God? How do we get to know God? The number one way to get to know God is not through your experiences in life, but through the Word of God, through his commandments, understanding his Word. When you understand the Word, you're understanding God. And to understand God is to understand love. Operating in love is simply knowing God. That's what he just said. He who does not love does not know God. So, love is knowing God. Love is knowing God. Love, doing God's word, we could say, is the greatest and most loveliest thing you can do for others. Notice what it says over here quickly in 2 John chapter, it's one chapter, verse 6. Now, this is very interesting. John, he talks a lot about love, and he was the one we were just talking about who seemed to be the closest to Jesus. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of John, he refers to him as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he referred to himself, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So he was the closest one to Jesus. There was a love relationship between him and Jesus that was greater than the relationship the other disciples had with Jesus. And here, he's the one talking all about love, writing about love. All through 1 John, he's talking about love. Here in 2 John, verse 6, he says, this is love. He's going to tell you what love is. This is love. It's a warm, fuzzy feeling that runs down the back of your spine and up again. It's something you fall into and can't get out of. It's a secondhand emotion. This is love. No. That's not the love of God. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Walk in what? Walk in love. Walk in love, or walk according to his commandments, according to the word of God. So how do you love people? Be a doer of the word. Loving people isn't necessarily doing everything they want you to do for them. Well, they're not going to think I love them if I don't do what they want me to do. Well, who says you're supposed to do anything for them? Just do the word. Do what the word tells you to do. Follow love. Follow the Spirit of God. Follow him. Keep his commandments. That's the loveliest, greatest thing you can do for anybody else. Not give in to what they want, but give in to love. Give in to what God wants. And you know, if you do what God wants, you'll always be doing the right thing. And sometimes people will take offense to it, and they'll look, and they'll think, you know, well, you don't love us. If you're following God, you're loving them the greatest way you could possibly ever love anybody. Obeying God is the greatest thing you can do for anybody else. The greatest thing you can do for others is love God. And that is love. It's keeping God's commandments. It's being a doer of his word. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. It can be expressed through our feelings and expressed through our emotions, but it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's an absolute, it's a law. And you and I are to plug into it, and we're to operate in the love of God all the time. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for his love.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.